This show furnished by City of Hope.
This is Dr. Chambers on Call on Talk Radio 790 KABC, 800-222-5222. No questions too dumb, no questions too tough, no questions too embarrassing. 800-222-5222. And here's Dr. Chambers.
It's Saturday, noon to one, so you're listening to Dr. Chambers on Call. Who am I? I am an ND, an acute care physician, and I've more experience in treating real-life patients with everything from hemorrhoids to heart attacks than Dr. Google herself. 800-222-5222. If you want to get in on the action, that's 800-222-5222. On this week's show, let's talk about Zika. You know the virus that's scaring all women who want to get pregnant? Should they get pregnant? Should they postpone it? Because some people think, hey, if you start telling women not to get pregnant, we're being paternalistic, we're taking over their bodies. But what happens if they get pregnant and the baby ends up with microcephaly? Who's at fault then? Autism, very common. Much more common now than it was, say, even 20 years ago, or at least we're recognizing it now compared to 20 years ago. Robert De Niro got caught up in a controversy recently with a documentary about vaccines and autism. Sadly, Mr. De Niro has a child with autism, but he entered into a very heavy fight, a very heavy debate that he didn't quite understand. And even now, with some of his statements, he doesn't get it. There's an HIV surge in Austin, Indiana, a little town, 4,200 people, 153 new cases confirmed of HIV. All that and this, viral bombs in the restroom, thanks to Dyson, those little dryers that blow yourself dry. Ah, viral bombs. I'll diffuse that later. Untuck it. Shirts to be worn untucked. This is following me around on my Twitter feed, and I think, like, what? Why is this following me? Have they seen my picture? Does everybody get? I put on a few pounds. If you want to follow me on Twitter, at Dr. JC on Call, that's DRJC on Call. All this and more in the next 1 hour. So let's start with Zika. Zika is a virus. It's everywhere in the news. You swear it was just the end of us all, but it's not really. What is it? It's just a viral infection. When most people get it, no biggie, just like having a cold. You're sick for a few days and you get better. And generally speaking, once you get the virus once, you don't get it twice. So why all the commotion? Well, the problem is if a pregnant woman gets infected, then there's some fetal abnormalities. Then there's some nasty stuff going on. Then we have a baby born with what we call microcephaly, which means the baby's head is too small. And that's really tragic. Now, this week, the feds were sort of talking about pregnancy, sort of talking about Zika and saying, well, you know what? We're not really sure what you should be doing. Some people in the federal government said women should postpone their pregnancies. And other women's health advocates said, are you kidding? Are you seriously telling us how to control our bodies again? And I thought, like, let's take a big breath here. Let's see what's going on. And this time, you know, this Saturday morning, I want you to play doctor. I want you to picture this. It's 4:30 Friday afternoon. One of your favorite patients comes in. She's Latina. She's 30, 31, educated, articulate, very in tune with her body, up to date on everything. And she has a question for you. She has finally decided with her partner to take the IUD out and get pregnant. But she's worried. She's worried because her husband has got to go down to Texas during the summer, and she's afraid that he might bring back the Zika virus and infect her. What do you tell her? Do you say, hey, don't be silly. You can't postpone your pregnancy. I mean, most women who have babies in countries where Zika is prominent, like Brazil, have normal babies. Most people in El Salvador, normal babies. So why would you want to postpone it? So she says, oh, I'm so relieved. Thank you. I just can't tell you how worried I was about this. Then flash forward 10, 12 weeks later, she comes into your office and she is really, really upset. She looks you in the eye and says, you said it was safe for me to get pregnant. And now what's happened? I got infected with the Zika virus. I saw my obstetrician yesterday, and the ultrasound shows I have a problem. The ultrasound shows my baby is not normal. Why did you give me that stupid, bad advice? All you had to do was say, hey, wait maybe till after the mosquito season. Wait till after the summer. You'll be fine. It won't. But you didn't. You said not to worry. Now all of a sudden you're sitting there and you have this dilemma. Should you have told her to have her baby or not? Now, normally in these circumstances, a working doctor like you or like me in the trenches relies on the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control. We look to them and say, in these complex scenarios, should I tell my patient to have a baby or should I tell her not to? Or should I tell her to wait? What's the deal? Because remember, in all of this, we're not telling you what to do. We're giving you advice. We're suggesting this is what maybe perhaps think about it and think about what the downside is. Because the last thing you want to do is have this, your favorite patient, come back months later and be really upset with you and say, we have a disaster. So when a guy like me looks at what the feds are saying this week, I'm getting a mixed message. They haven't given out a definitive thing that says, advise women not to get pregnant. They equally haven't said, advise women to get pregnant, that it's okay. That's okay. So what are they saying? Well, you know, they're sort of encouraging, recommending contraception. What does that mean? How does that help me? How does that help me? How does it help a woman trying to make a decision? How does that help a man and a woman who are going to have a baby? So here's what I think about this. There are several reasons why you should think of postponing a pregnancy. And bearing in mind that this is a very individual, personalized decision. And it really boils down to how much risk you want to live with. The first thing you have to understand is that Zika breakouts, when Zika hits a country or hits an area, it attacks most people and it's really intense for a short period of time, then dies off. And roughly about two-thirds of the people in that area will get Zika. And then it just seems to go. Simple as that. And other people say that, you know, in 2 years we're going to have a vaccine. You could put off waiting for 2 years. But what about if you're 35 and you've been putting it off and putting it off and putting it off? 2 more years. Ooh. You're into the elderly prima gravida stage, the elderly first time having a baby stage. Not so good. Maybe you don't want to do that. And then the next thing you want to understand is that some of the women health advocates are saying you can beat the mosquito. You can wear long sleeve clothes. You can wear these clothes impregnated with DEET, D-E-E-T, that inhibits the mosquito. Not quite sure how safe that is in pregnancy. Most people are saying, yeah, it's pretty safe. But we're not quite sure. And me, I don't know about you, I am highly motivated not to get bitten by mosquitoes. I hate it. It stings. It hurts. I get a little welts. Don't like it. So the idea that there are non-highly motivated women who might be pregnant not to get bitten is kind of silly. It kind of is silly. So, like all of these things, when it's very complicated and it's politically charged, like you can't control a woman's body, which I agree with, you cannot, should not suggest it. So then what do we do in the medical profession? We spend billions on the NIH. We spend billions on the CDC. We sit back in the corner and say, talk to your doctor. Think about it. Make up your own mind. And like everything else in life, it's risk versus reward. You can get pregnant if you live in a Gulf state, if you live in Puerto Rico, you live in American Samoa, and have a perfectly normal baby. On the other hand, you could end up with a Zika virus and not. It's a question of risk versus reward. Me personally, if I was a millennial in my 20s, I would postpone the pregnancy. I would use a contraception. I would avoid the pregnancy until this is clarified. But if I was 35, I might think twice. Now, bear one other thing in mind in all of this controversy is that the Zika virus is sexually transmitted. So if your partner, if your male partner gets infected with Zika, he can infect you for up to 6 months after he has no symptoms, for up to 6 months after he is well. So this is not straightforward, is it? So if you want to go back to the original thing, and I said, let's play doctor. You're in your office and that Latina woman comes in and you tell her to have a baby. Would you tell her to have it now? Or would you suggest to her to postpone? Because that's really the nitty-gritty of it all. That's where you want to sort of say to yourself, what am I doing? What I do in my practice is this. In these complex scenarios, I try to give as much information as possible without overloading the person, without overloading the patient. And some people want like reams of information and then references to go to the internet, to go there to learn more. And other people just want, what would you do in this scenario, doc? And what I would do at this point is I will postpone if at all possible. 800-222-5222 is the number to call. And you can chat with whatever is on your mind about your health. I love this came out this week. And it was about air. The air in California is much better than it used to be. And what does that mean? That means asthmatic children or asthmatic adults like me can go, yes, I can breathe. Now, when people come along and ask, what does the federal government do? What does the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, what are they all about? They're just regulations. They're just this. They're just that. Here's the result of it. We cleaned up the air in Southern California. So kids are breathing better. They're not coughing. They're not wheezing as much. They're not coughing up all that goop. And adults with lung disease or asthmatics with lung disease who are adults, all of them, they're all breathing better. So healthcare, being healthy, isn't just what you do. It's what we all do. It's what the government does. And we have to have the government control air quality. Otherwise, business wouldn't care. Otherwise, you will be coughing and wheezing a lot more than you already are. 800-222-5222 is the number to call. When I come back, I want to talk a little bit about autism. What is it? How would you recognize it? The importance of recognizing it early on. And remember, autism is a spectrum. All will be revealed when I come back. 800-222-5222. This is Dr. Chambers on Call on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Dr. Chambers answers more of your questions when we continue.
Dr. Yumin Fong on Cancer and City of Hope.
So the reason I came here as a surgeon is that I do robotic liver and pancreatic surgery. That's something actually fairly new. This was one of the very first places to embrace this technology. I'm also a gene therapist. What I do is I redesign nature's viruses to go and seek out cancer cells that are circulating the body and go and hunt them down and kill them. And now there's a whole new field in science called gene editing. We're now able to go into cells and actually change the genes that are already there. We could go and repair genes that are bad. We can actually turn off genes that are trying to cause too much inflammation and cause damage. Some of the best scientists in the world right now working on those things are here.
City of Hope is a world leader in cancer research and treatment. Our doctors and scientists turn laboratory breakthroughs into treatments that outsmart cancer. Find out more at cityofhope.org. City of Hope, the miracle of science with soul.
Kings playoff hockey is on KABC. Don't miss a second of the action as the Kings go for their third cup in 5 years.
Royalty reigns again in the NHL.
Kings, Sharks, Game 2. Coverage gets underway today at 7 with Inside Kings Hockey. And immediately following the game, stick around for Kings Talk with Nick Nixon and Daryl Evans. Exclusively on your home for Kings Hockey, 790 KABC.
Dr. Stephen Rosen on Cancer and City of Hope.
We're in the forefront of care. We have the talent, and then we have all of the options that may allow us to control a cancer that in other places, physicians may say, I'm sorry, we've reached the limit of what we can accomplish. We're actually able to formulate drugs, to develop the clinical trials, and then actually take it to patients. The research goes from the laboratory to the clinic and from the clinic to the laboratory, and we're all involved as a team. It is truly unique to City of Hope. There are very few institutions that have the capability of taking a discovery and bringing it all the way to the treatment of an individual.
City of Hope is a world leader in cancer research and treatment. Our doctors and scientists turn laboratory breakthroughs into treatments that outsmart cancer. Find out more at cityofhope.org. City of Hope, the miracle of science with soul.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. Talk Radio 790. KABC.
This is Dr. Chambers on call on Talk Radio 790 KABC. 800-222-5222 is the number to call. And remember, on this show, no questions too dumb, no questions too tough, and no questions too embarrassing. We can't even see your face. So give me a call, 800-222-5222. Recently, there was a big controversy involving Robert De Niro and the Tribeca Film Festival. Mr. De Niro decided that he would personally intervene, which he said was for the first time ever in the festival, and get a documentary screened. It was called Vaxxed. It was made by the disgraced physician, ex-physician, I should say, Andrew Wakefield. Now, sadly, Mr. De Niro himself has a child with autism. I think this was spurring him on to generate what he described as a conversation. The problem is that conversation about autism and vaccines is long over. The science is in, the science is settled. Vaccines do not cause autism. But what exactly is autism? It's a complex brain condition. And it's really extremely common. In the 1970s, we thought maybe there was 1 in 14,000 children with autism. Nowadays, we think it's up to 1 in 38. That was the latest study from South Korea. 1 in 38. And that's part of the reason that people thought vaccines were causing this, because autism is more recognized in rich countries than it is in the poorer countries. But that's a question of diagnosis. It's a question of having the resources to assess children, see what's wrong with them, and try to get them better. It's nothing to do with vaccines. It's nothing to do with being rich. We just have the resources to go in there and diagnose it. So autism is a complex brain condition and has a number of manifestations that you have to understand. The first is that autistic people are just uncomfortable around other people. It's a fact. They don't like crowds. They would hate Times Square. They would hate being on Hollywood Boulevard around Man's Chinese Theater. They would just hate it. They would be sensory overload. They would be screaming. They would be gone. They wouldn't go there. They're hypersensitive to sound. So open offices that we have nowadays with all the phones ringing, clanging, clicking, all this kind of stuff, can't do it. Can't do it. They're also hypersensitive to touch or taste, light, and they frequently have obsessive interests. They will focus on one thing like cars and look at the plates or do something obsessive about it all the time. Now, autism is on a spectrum. So it can be extremely mild, almost like a social disorder like Asperger's syndrome, to something that's really severe, to where they don't even speak. There's no verbal communication. So it's a huge spectrum. There are immensely successful people with autism. Dan Aykroyd, famous comedian, Canadian comedian, autistic. And then we tend to hear about the most famous people. We tend to think of autistic people as having this house above average intelligence, this sort of savant things with computers, with figures. And that's not always the case. A large number of children with autism, their intelligence isn't as high, is below average. So that's why we talk about it. And when we talk about a spectrum, we want you to understand that. And there's a phrase in the autistic world that says, when you've met one autistic person, you've met one autistic person. You can't extrapolate out. In the medical world, we tend to look at groups. We tend to look at the picture overall to see how we can intervene and how we can make it better. And that's why I'm trying to talk in general trends here. And that's really important to understand. So they have some mental issues. They have things like they become obsessive about stuff, but they also have physical issues. And some of them can't lift up a fork to feed themselves. So we're looking at a very, very wide range. And how do we get here? How all of a sudden, when I was a kid, we rarely heard of autism, to now in South Korea, it's 1 in 68. Well, genes definitely play a big role. Very, very big role. There's definitely some environmental factors. And maternal, mom's age when she gets pregnant, or dad's age when he impregnates somebody seem to be factors in there. Boys seem to be much more affected than girls. Not sure why that is. And sadly, we have no cure. Absolutely no cure. But there are some children who are on the spectrum as they age, as they go into adulthood. They shouldn't be labeled like that because there's no difference between them and other adults. So how do you diagnose this? There's absolutely no single test. It's not like you come into my office and I draw blood and say, yep, your child's autistic. It's not like that. We try to make the diagnosis as early as possible in life. And we generally say that it takes up to about the age of 2 before we can make that diagnosis. Sadly, in the United States, most kids are diagnosed about 3.5 years, 4 years of age. And that's a little bit late because in the first couple of years, guess what? In the first couple of years is when the baby's brain is most malleable. In other words, you can shape it. And it's when it's most heavily influenced. A regular child will look you in the eye, will respond to their name, will smile, gets a lot of stimulation from what's happening around her, the party, the life, the laughter, the food, the smell, the taste. They love all that. Children with autism tend not to be like that. They'll fixate on inanimate objects. They won't make eye contact. Speech development is delayed. So these are kind of things that that a parent has to twig. Now, when the parent sees this, obviously in the baby they love, they're not quite so willing to get in there and think like, there's something wrong with my beautiful baby. So they delay in going to the doctor. And when they delay going to the doctor, that means there's precious time lost. See, there's a big stigma to autism, even in 2016. Many years ago, when this epidemic was just beginning to be noticed, I was in practice in Canada. And this nurse walks up to me and says, this kid who we suspect has autism is screaming. I can't deal with it. I'm going to get one of these pediatric nurses to deal with it. I'm like, wow, okay, calm down. Calm down. Big breath, please. Big breath. And then she bursts into the doctor's office to complain 5 minutes later that this is one of the reasons she didn't have a child. She'd be afraid she'd end up with a child with autism. And I'm looking at my jaw's falling to the ground. And she's saying this to another woman doctor who, guess what, had an 18-month-old that she was suspicious had autism. So needless to say, the tension goes up and everybody's stressed. And my colleague goes in and sees the child that's screaming. And what you should always do in this scenario is you stand back, ask, introduce yourself, ask what their name is, and say, like, what's going on? And all that was wrong was this kid with autism was terrified we're going to give him a shot. Didn't want a shot. That's why he was acting out. So there was a negotiation, and there was an agreement there'd be no shots. End of screaming, end of acting out. By the way, the negotiation and the shot, that happens with kids who don't have autism. I walk in the room frequently and it's the first thing that's up there. Hey, I want a shot. You can give my brother a shot. I don't want a shot. It's called the shot culture because all the kids associate going to the doctor with vaccines and getting the shots. They don't want it. They don't want it. Fred, you're on the air with Dr. Chambers. How can I help?
Hey, Dr. Chambers. How are you? Thank you for talking about this. It's so important.
It is.
I just wanted to let you know that I disagree completely with something that you said, and that
sure.
there's no cure. There may be no cure for what might be the brain functions that lead to this.
Yeah.
But there is definitely a cure for all of the symptoms and for all of the behavioral things that occur in many children. And Dan Aykroyd is a good example of that. If you watch him today, you wouldn't see him with those unique, peculiar traits that you just said.
Yes.
And it comes in large part from behavioral training.
Absolutely.
So, for example, when you said that they can't stand the sensory input, well, if you take your kid over to Disneyland a lot and have them walk around a mob of people, you'll be all right with it.
Okay.
If you...
You know, Fred, I'm almost out of time, but let me just say, I couldn't agree with you more. The reason that guys like me won't use the word cure is really the only thing we cure is appendicitis. It's inflamed, we cut it out, it's not going to be a problem. With autism, there's a thing called Applied Behavioral Analysis, ABA, and I think that's what you're talking about, Fred. And it was leading up to that. I was going to get into this, and I will after the break. And that was Fred. He called me on 800-222, and you 222-5222. That's 800-222-5222. Applied Behavioral Analysis is the everyday treatment, is the best treatment for autism. But cure, I'm not so sure. We'll talk some more about it when they come back. This is Dr. Chambers On Call on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Chambers On Call. Replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-261-7500 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-261-7500. That's 800-261-7500. 800-261-7500. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warrantech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
Dr. Stephen Foreman on cancer and City of Hope.
So the exciting work we're doing right now has to do with how to use the immune system to treat cancer. And that therapy is being used for diseases that, who would have guessed? Melanoma, lung cancer, leukemia, lymphoma, and in our program, we're trying to extend this to many other diseases, prostate, pancreas, breast, ovary, cervix, brain, to make not just surgery, radiation, chemotherapy part of what people get, but maybe immune therapy is part of their therapy and maybe the only therapy they get. And I think that is the new frontier for us, and it addresses the patient's question, what can my immune system do to help get me well? And we're saying, you know, we think you're right, and we think we have some things that will hopefully be good for you.
City of Hope is a world leader in cancer research and treatment. Our doctors and scientists turn laboratory breakthroughs into treatments that outsmart cancer. Find out more at cityofhope.org. City of Hope, the miracle of science with soul.
Hey, Los Angeles. Lumber Liquidators' 13th annual April sale is here. It's the biggest hardwood flooring clearance event of the year. Get once-in-a-lifetime prices on top-quality North American and European laminate from 29 cents, 150 styles of pre-finished hardwood from 89 cents, 30 varieties of pre-finished bamboo from 179. Even get beautiful Bellawood up to $2 off a square foot, plus more deals and special financing. Don't miss Lumber Liquidators' April sale. Dial **Floor on your smartphone for a link to the nearest store. That's **Floor for the store nearest you.
News, talk, evolve. 790 KABC.
This is Dr. Chambers On Call on Talk Radio 790 KABC. 800-222-5222 is the number to call. Who am I? I am an acute care physician. I treat everything from hemorrhoids to heart attacks. You want to chat about your health, your family's health, whatever's on your mind about the medicine that's in the news, that's scaring you, not scaring you, you agree with me, you disagree with me, 800-222-5222. We're talking about autism. Autism is a brain condition where it manifests itself in certain ways where people have difficulty in social situations and relating in eye contact. They also have problems with repetitive movements where they're constantly moving their arms or their feet, or sometimes they just get obsessive about an idea. So autism is a spectrum. And what one of our callers said earlier was that he felt that it could be cured with the right therapy. And cured is not a word that we really ever use on DCOC because cured is rare. But I have to say that therapy in autism works wonders. Therapy in autism helps those kids go on to lead productive lives. Therapy in autism helps the families and ultimately helps society. If we don't get on top of the problem of autism, they estimate that by 2025, we will be spending $1 trillion a year on autism. 1 trillion. That's with a T. Now, I used to have trouble imagining what a billion was. Now they want me to imagine what a trillion was. All I know is it's way more money than I have or ever will have. It's a lot. It's a lot of money. So we need to focus on this. And the therapy that's really important is called ABA, Applied Behavioral Analysis. And it's basically where a therapist works one-on-one with a child who has autism and rewards them for doing certain things, getting them to make more eye contact, getting them to play with a toy car, instead of running it up and down 150 times in the same way, to be more imaginative, more within this sort of the, what we call the neurotypical way of playing with a car. And then in the really good centers, what they do is they let the child go into their world, into the autistic world, twice a day, like for playtime, 15 minutes. Because think about it. In these therapy sessions, we're bringing these autistic kids into our world, which is stressful for them. So it's nice to allow them to go back into their own world, even for short periods of time. So applied behavioral analysis is the way forward. And many years ago, one of my colleagues, a physician whose child was diagnosed or they suspected had autism, and there was all kinds of medicines being advocated for her. And she said, no, I'm not going to do this. I've heard about this therapy thing. And she and her husband would spend hours and hours and hours with their child, with their son, looking them in the eye, doing all this applied behavioral analysis. And that kid really grew up and has done extremely well. So I'm really, really impressed with it. And it's something that I encourage all parents to think about, because the best time to diagnose your child with autism is as early as possible. Now, generally speaking, we say you have to be at least 2 years of age before we make that diagnosis. But unfortunately, even in a country with lots of doctors like America, most of our diagnosis for autism happens around 3.5 years of age, 4 years of age. And we've missed crucial time. We've missed a time when we can affect that baby's brain. We can affect it positively so they can go on to lead a normal life. Now, the other thing I want to say before I change topic is this. Employers are beginning to understand that hiring people with autism can be a good thing. Walgreens has a special program. Walgreens, the pharmacy people, have a special program where they hire autistic people to come in, fill shelves, and do other jobs. Now, sometimes there's a little bit of social awkwardness, and the autistic people manage, they pick up some clues from the non-autistic. But a lot of employers say this, you get an autistic person into the job, they're more loyal to you, they stay with you longer, and they do the job, and they always show up. The joke is that if you have somebody with autism who's a software engineer, their job is being a software engineer, and their hobby, being a software engineer. That's their hobby. So guess what? Employers like people like that. And the more that we can help people become productive citizens, the more we can help autistic people lead a full life, the better it is for everybody. Let's talk to Jerry. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, doctor. I wonder if you could help me. I had this stuffed up nose.
Yeah.
And the allergist says take Flonase. And I was taking Flonase. It helped the nose, but it knocked out my sense of taste and smell. My tongue got real red, and it was like burnt. And then I couldn't – it knocked out my taste of smell and my tongue.
Jerry, how long did you use the Flonase?
Oh, about 2 weeks.
2 weeks. And you're off it now?
Yeah, I'm off it now because it wasn't doing any good. I mean, I can breathe better, though. My nose isn't stuffed up.
So it did something good, right?
It knocked out my taste buds and the smell.
Okay. So here's the thing. You're breathing better for sure. How long is it since you stopped the Flonase?
About a week ago.
A week. And there's no return in your sense of smell?
No.
None at all?
No.
Okay. Do you have any headaches or other problems, Jerry?
No, but I'm allergic. You know, I got a lot of allergies.
Sure.
And, you know, I was taking Nasacort and
did you have a
antihistamines, and they don't do any good, you know, with this thing. I had this once before where it knocked out my taste buds.
For how
and
long?
And then it came back.
For how long did you lose it for?
I lost it for about a year, and then it came back all of a sudden.
Well, that's unusual. Flonase, also called fluticasone. I prescribe that a lot, actually. I actually use it myself. Pretty much anybody living in Los Angeles today will have itchy skin who has any kind of allergies because of these winds. It's part of the price we pay for living here. You know, these nasal sprays are associated with loss of smell. a loss of taste. But generally speaking, I found it personally and in my practice that it doesn't take a year for it to come back. It's usually a few days. And when you're stuffed up and you've got all this pressure, guess what? Your sense of taste, your sense of smell is already gone. So you're between a rock and a hard place, Jerry. The other things you can do with your allergies, don't forget things like Singular, which is a pill you can take that will help with allergies. If the allergies are really bad, you can take some prednisone. Don't like that myself. Too many side effects. And people get addicted to it. You do it once, the allergies go away, they feel great. They're back in your office 6 weeks later, they want it again. And there's way too many problems with that. So what I would do if I were you, Jerry, is go back to the allergist and say, is it really associated with my nasal spray or is there something else going on? And he might want to do a workup for that. That was Jerry, and he called me on 800-222-5222. And you can call me with whatever is on your mind about your health or your family's health. 800-222-5222. Now, this week, an alarming headline came out of Indiana. In a little town called Austin, 4,200 people had 153 confirmed diagnosed cases of HIV. And all because of needle sharing. That's more cases of needle sharing HIV than the whole of New York City. So what went wrong? Well, it's a small town. It's the kind of town that people hark back to the old days. Everybody knows one another. Everyone has a little garden. You walk down Main Street. Hi, Bill. Hi, John. So what exactly happened? No jobs. Nothing to do. Drug epidemic. Often, the whole family were self-injecting in the house. Four generations injecting. Now, here's the thing. Most people thought that this was a failure of public health. I guess most of you listening in your car, podcast, whatever, will say, what's public health? Public health is what the government does. Public health is what spends money on education. Public health is when we go out there and say, we've got a problem, we should be doing this, notify people, educate people. And you often hear politicians condemning this, saying, public health, let's cut that back, that's nothing. But yet, when we have a disaster like this, a disaster, you know how much this is going to cost? Forgetting the human tragedy? Guess how much it's going to cost? $100 million to treat these people. And we don't even know the extent of this crisis yet. $100 million. Do you think it was worth spending $10 million to prevent it? So that these people didn't get infected? Don't you think? Of course it is. The fear is that this town in Indiana is just one of many that we actually don't know about just yet. And that we'll have more epidemics like this. And that, apart from the human tragedy, would be just a disaster in dollars and healthcare and all the rest of it. So what can you do? Well, you're not in charge of public health. The feds are. They've dropped the ball a little bit. They dropped the ball. They need to get in there. They need to get a needle sharing program immediately to cut down this transmission. They need to get these people diagnosed. They need to get them on therapy. But what about you as an individual? What should you be doing? Well, first off, HIV is preventable. Duh. Don't use a condom. Don't share needles. Don't share needles, right? It's bizarre, but you've got to say these things. And if you suspect that you might have HIV, get tested. Don't be afraid. Get tested. If you're tested and you're negative, you're free. If you're positive, therapy. Because HIV is a chronic disease now. The sooner we diagnose you, the sooner we get you on therapy, the better you do. And you don't spread more virus around. You don't spread more virus if you're on therapy. So, you know, to put this in perspective for you, think of it this way. The poorest countries in Africa, the poorest countries in sub-Saharan Africa have a lower rate of HIV than Austin, Indiana. And we spend more in healthcare than any nation on earth, bar none. We spend more, compared to other rich countries, we're spending two and a half times as much. And we have these kind of outbreaks? It's a disgrace. It's mind-boggling. So when you hear politicians talking about, we don't need this, we don't need that, we don't need the feds doing this, we do. Public health, if you're not doing it right, people die. If public health isn't funded, people die. And the people are you and me. It's HIV in Indiana today. It's going to be something else in California tomorrow. That's the way it works. 800-222-5222 is the number to call. When I come back, more of your calls. And I found this kind of funny. Viral bombs in restrooms from, you know, the hand dryers. I mean, you wonder, how do we live? And millennials, their selfies, they're getting what? Plastic surgery in their 20s because they're looking old. In their 20s, they're looking old. Oh, my God. 800-222-5222. This is Dr. Chambers on call on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Dr. Chambers on call will continue answering more of your questions.
Dr. Yumin Fong on Cancer and City of Hope.
So the reason I came here as a surgeon is that I do robotic liver and pancreatic surgery. That's something actually fairly new. This was one of the very first places to embrace this technology. I'm also a gene therapist. What I do is I redesign nature's viruses to go and seek out cancer cells that are circulating the body and go and hunt them down and kill them. And now there's a whole new field in science called gene editing. We're now able to go into cells and actually change the genes that are already there. We could go and repair genes that are bad. We can actually turn off genes that are trying to cause too much inflammation and cause damage. Some of the best scientists in the world right now working on those things are here.
City of Hope is a world leader in cancer research and treatment. Our doctors and scientists turn laboratory breakthroughs into treatments that outsmart cancer. Find out more at cityofhope.org. City of Hope. The miracle of science with soul.
Listen to McIntyre in the Morning all week and win tickets to see Billy Joel live at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas.
Sing us a song, you're the piano man.
But the winning doesn't stop there. We'll also hook you up with a stay at the New York, New York Hotel and Casino, plus a $50 gas card. Billy Joel, live at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Saturday, April 30th. Tickets and hotel furnished by Live Nation Entertainment.
Kings playoff hockey is on KABC. Don't miss a second of the action as the Kings go for their third cup in 5 years.
Royalty reigns again in the NHL.
Kings. Sharks, Game 2. Coverage gets underway today at 7 with Inside Kings Hockey. And immediately following the game, stick around for Kings Talk with Nick Nixon and Darrell Evans. Exclusively on your home for Kings Hockey, 790 KABC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790 KABC.
This is Dr. Chambers on call on Talk Radio 790 KABC. 800-222-5222 is the number to call. Who am I? I'm an acute care physician. I see everything from hemorrhoids to heart attacks. Happy to answer your questions. 800-222-5222. Now, during the week, you can follow me on my website, which is drchambersoncall.com. There you can catch my medical minutes that go out nationwide to well over a million people per week. You can follow me on Twitter at Dr. JC on call. That's DRJC on call. And on Facebook, of course, it's Dr. Chambers on call. And if you do swing by Facebook, click like. Let me know you were there. Don't forget on my website, I've got podcasts of the show, video snippets from the show, articles, videos, all kinds of stuff. Please stop by, say hello, drchambersoncall.com. Now, I read this week, and I always think like, who dreams up these articles? I always think they're like, you know, clickbait. And it was this, viral bombs in restrooms. If you use a Dyson hand dryer, the most effective way of drying your hands with air in the world, you will die of a viral bomb. And I go like, what are they talking about? And they're saying this, you wash your hands, you go into the Dyson hand dryer, you pop them in, and all the air flows out there. And there's literally zillions of viruses being spread around the restroom. Zillions of them. And you think, oh, also lots of bacteria. But when I looked at this, I'm like, how are we all alive? With all of this, last week they had an article that said, you know, if you touch gym equipment, there was a lot of fecal material on the free weights. They were like, ah, the wonder of it all, how are we all alive? So here's what I think. You go to the restroom, you need to wash your hands. Wash your hands with soap. Sing happy birthday twice. That's the amount of time you should be washing your hands for. Dry them with paper towel. If there's a Dyson hand dryer there, it's not the end of the world if you use it. I like them myself. I prefer hand towels to dry my hands, of course. But at home, I even have a Dyson vacuum. Good technology. Maybe we need to rethink this. Now, a lot of people are afraid. A lot of people fearful going to the restroom publicly. And on my website, drchambersoncall.com, I have a little funny article, but some practical tips on going and using a public restroom. It's kind of like about, how will I put this, your relationship with a toilet seat. Because believe it or not, in my practice, sometimes I get people who come in with like a, you know, a little burning when they pee, sexually transmitted infection. And they say, you know what, doc? This toilet seat was really dirty. And you know, and I always say this, take a big breath. Most STIs, most sexually transmitted infections, we can fix. And generally speaking, the toilet seat isn't the blame. Now, I have to say, the toilet seat may be present when you pick up the sexually transmitted infection, because you're doing something in the toilet with somebody else that it really wasn't designed for. But I guarantee you, the toilet seat is always innocent. You can catch that full article on my website, drchambersoncall.com. Hi, Robert. How can I help?
Hello, hi, doctor. I wanted to talk to you about me having like itching problems after I go jogging.
Mm-hmm.
Like it occurs in my joints. It started down at my ankle around 2000. I used to run cross country a lot. And it goes in the back of my knees and sometimes on my thighs or even on my rib area sometimes.
So, Robert, and, how far are you running?
Oh, I used to run cross country. I used to run like 9 miles a day.
How far are you running now?
Now I can't take it. I can't bear it. If I start to run hard for about a couple of blocks, it gets unbearable.
Okay. And have you tried taking an anti-inflammatory? Like ibuprofen, Advil, Aleve?
You know what? I don't think I have.
Yeah, that might be worth a try. I always think of it this way. If you haven't exercised for a while, you start off doing stuff, everything's going to ache a little bit. That's a fact. But if it's preventing you from exercise, take a little bit of Aleve or Advil prior, about 45 minutes to an hour before the run. If that's not working, then I would go back to your regular doc, Robert, and ask her and say, you know, and getting these joint problems, is there something else going on here? And you want to look at all the joints and see, are they swollen? That's the first thing. Any fevers? Fatigued, you'd not feel well. And she'd have to do a workup on that. But before I go to that length, I would just take a little bit of Advil and see will it help. Hi, Kyle. How are you?
Hi, doctor. Good, how are you?
What's going on?
Well, I'm 26 years old. I am a smoker, but I've had for the last 2 years
Hey, Kyle, buddy. You can't brush off that. That's like telling me, hey, doc, I'm on fire. But it's okay. I don't mind being on fire. It's good. You're a smoker? What do you smoke?
Cigarettes?
How many do you smoke a day?
I smoke American Spirits. I probably smoke maybe six a day.
Six a day. You know what we call you in my world, Kyle? You're 26?
What?
You're job security for me and my family, my friends. Job security. Guaranteed we'll be making money off you for 50 years if you're lucky. Or
well,
maybe less.
I plan on quitting soon.
Why soon? Why not now? Why not today? What's wrong with today, Kyle?
I've tried a couple times. It's pretty hard.
It is. It
yeah,
is very hard.
It is.
So you're wondering about chronic nasal obstruction and congestion. Is that it?
Yeah, and it only started 2 years ago, and I can't figure out for the life of me what it is.
Yeah, you probably have some allergies in addition to the cigarette stuff. All kidding aside, what you have to understand with cigarettes is this. Not that I was kidding about quitting cigarettes by any means, is that they affect what's called a cilia in your nose all the way into your respiratory tract, and it generates a lot of extra mucus. So the first thing, if I was you, Kyle, I want to get rid of the mucus, the congestion, I'd stop smoking, number one. Second thing is, despite what an earlier caller was worried about with the fluticasone Flonase, I would take a steroid nasal spray, either Flonase or Nasocort, whatever one, they're all pretty much the same, and see will that cut down on my congestion. So I do those two things. The other part, you can take antihistamines. Some of them, I mean, I'm not a big fan of them because they always make me feel sleepy. And Zyrtec is a good one. They're supposed to be non-sedating. You could try those. Those are the simple things. Because fluticasone and Zyrtec, you can buy over the counter. Claritin, they're all the same. And if that wasn't working for you, then I'll go off and see an allergist. There are some prescription meds like Singular for allergies and things like that that would help. But if I was you, I know the congestion and stuff like that is a nuisance. But Kyle, buddy, what you got to do? You got to quit the smoking. You just got to quit it. 800-222-5222. And don't forget, you can call in today with your question, or you can log out to my website, go to Facebook, ask me there, make a suggestion for the show. Facebook, it's Dr. Chambers on Call. Twitter, it's at DRJC on Call. That's at Dr. JC on Call. And on my website, I've got all kinds of stuff. Articles on, are you afraid of your toilet seat? What's your relationship like with your toilet seat? Videos, be granny versus Harvard. Is fat bad for you? No, fat is back. Fat is good. Fat is taste. Video will make you laugh. Promise. Now, the other big story this week that grabbed my attention was millennials. Millennials are getting more plastic surgery. The American Academy of Facial Plastic and Reconstructive Surgery gave their annual report. And they said that cosmetic surgery has less stigma now than ever. Millennials are doing it. Millennials want it. Now, who are these guys? Who are these surgeons? Generally, they're the people you meet at a dinner party, and you ask them what they're doing. They say, oh, I'm a plastic surgeon. But I do facial reconstruction, cleft palates. I fly down to the third world, to Africa, and I do. And you go, yeah. Most of them are very rich, and they do boob jobs and all those other things. That's who they are. That's how they make their living. Not knocking it. People want it. That's their business. So what are the millennials up to? Well, they want luscious lips. I guess what's wrong with luscious lips? Think fuller and shapely and not overfilled. Because sometimes you look and it's like they have an allergic reaction. It's all blown up too much. And then they want younger looking eyes. I thought this was funny. You're 24, you want younger looking eyes. What, you want to look like a baby? What is that? And they want to have this cosmetic stuff done because they want to be more competitive in the workplace. I'm like, what are you talking about? You're 24, you're fresh, you're vigorous, you're good looking. I mean, who at 24 doesn't look well? So you need cosmetic surgery to make you more competitive? Well, they also want to restore the facial volume by showing off their cheeks. Now, and Botox is the other thing that's just surging. The Botox parties are getting more and more common. And I sometimes when I hear this stuff, I think, like, do people understand what they're doing? Not that long ago, I saw a woman who had breast implants. She was new. She was post-op. She was a few days. And she was really short of breath. And a guy like me, we get worried. We get nervous. We think, oh, had a general anesthetic. Could she have a clog? Could she have this and that? And no. She was a small, petite woman. The implants were not small and petite. They were very, very, very big. It was pressing on her chest and restricting how she could move her chest in and out. And our surgeon had told her to expect this for several weeks before she would return to normal. And I thought to myself, wow, why would you do that to your body? It's an individual choice. Don't send me a million emails. I know it's an individual choice. I'm not condemning it. I'm just saying these are the consequences. You get back pain, you get short of breath, all kinds of stuff. I'm in my final minute. Don't forget, you want to follow me during the week? My Facebook page is Dr. Chambers on Call, Twitter, at DRJC on Call. And my digital platform is drchambersoncall.com. I have podcasts there. I have videos. I have articles. And I kind of interpret the news, put it in perspective. So you know that scary stuff out there like viral bombs and restrooms is going to kill you? Look at my website. You'll see that's all garbage. You won't. Don't worry about it. Check it out. I'll be back next Saturday, 12 to 1. As always, taking your calls, discussing the news. This is Dr. Chambers on Call on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Information in this show is intended for entertainment and educational purposes only. It is not a replacement or substitute for professional medical advice and or treatment. Consult with your own doctor for information and advice on your specific medical condition or questions.
This show furnished by City of Hope.